A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 2nd January 2025, beginning of the year 2025. Today is Thursday, our first Thursday class of the year 2025. So our class officially recommences back as from today. So as usual, let us gather for physical puja, then we will continue with the sharing. Let us now compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhen Si Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Bhen Si Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Bhu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Bhu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Bhu Sa. Namo Wen Su Bhu Sa. Namo Wen Su Bhu Sa. Namo Wen Su Bhu Sa. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Fo Bhu Sa. Namo Fo Bhu Sa. Namo Fo Bhu Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Shall continue puja chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana muttamam vanna ganda gunopetam etam kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddham kusumena nena punena maddena ca hotu mokhaṁ pupaṁ milayati yata idaṁ me kāyo tata yati vinasa bhāvaṁ ādivāseto no bhante pāniyāṁ parikāpitāṁ ānukampāṁ upādāya Patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante Bhojanam parikāpitam anukampam upādāya patigānhātu muttamam. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripajan. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. We are off the light so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So just remember the four support. The first three support are very important. First is to relax body and mind completely. Be at ease. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax. Then, number two is to maintain awareness. maintaining awareness means let the awareness nature stay. That nature which is aware can be aware of whatever that arises within your six sense door. And the awareness is a type of pure consciousness without its content. So maintaining awareness is not easy. Means without thought, you stay aware. Then the third support is to stabilize this awareness. Means whatever happens, let it arise. Witness it, aware. Finish. No more proliferation of thought, no more verbalization, no more chattering, no more thought process, no more thinking. And without arising any thought process or sankhara, your mind will settle down. It will become just completely silent, still, tranquil, and just aware. To maintain that state, leading to the stabilization of it, which is the third support, is not easy. But you can do it. My nature will rejoice and subdue you. Then after that, you just continue to stay aware. Then when you are already skillful, able to do it very well, then your mind becomes different. You will start to understand that there are two minds. One is the true mind, the silent mind, the primordial, original mind, which is without movement, without activity. It's just that pure awareness nature. The other one is the mundane thinking mind that arises from there, and that mind is dependent originating condition arising, causal phenomena. That one will arise when the aggregates of mind arise. That's why every moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind or mind states that you manifest, these are aggregates of mind. Then every moment of consciousness is also an aggregate of mind. Then the perception is the one that brings in the external form. That's why the four mind aggregate, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, together with the content of consciousness, which is the external form that is being brought in, then the sankhara activity that manifests from there form the content of consciousness. And this content of consciousness together with the consciousness, pure awareness, become a thought. That's how your thought manifests. That's how the mundane mind arises. That's how the creative process happens. So to develop the wisdom is to see this clearly, to understand all this clearly. And this is real meditation. When you are just aware, you can understand what is going on. You can see the movement, the manifestation, the creation, the stages of arising and passing away of all the aggregates of mind. The mundane thinking, the mundane emotion, the mundane thought process, the emotion, the feeling, the perception, sankhara, sanya. Perceive thing, react, stir. That is the characteristics of the mundane mind. That is the mind that thinks a lot, analyzes a lot, that bring forth confusion to humanity, to the world. Without awareness, without mindfulness, without clarity, you cannot understand what is going on. And you cannot understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a living being. So all this is part of meditation. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can have your awareness-based meditation. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to live life. Awareness is very important. When you are aware, it's just with your pure nature, your pure mind. When that pure mind detect activity and create movement, that is the beginning of thought activity, or what we call mundane thinking. And mundane thinking is thought process. And this mundane consciousness is what the living being is all about. Without the ability to be conscious, you cannot be alive. You cannot be a living being. So consciousness is the one that is responsible for each and every individual becoming aware. But the trouble with the world is we live in a world of materialism, knowledge-based society, where we believe in learning, acquiring knowledge through the mind, through the thought. That's why you use this mundane mind, the thinking mind, a lot, not knowing that it is for certain specific aspect of living, mainly to acquire knowledge, to develop what we call technical capability, advancement, like the scientists. Then we have the what they call technical people, where they develop technology to the extent that they try to use technology to develop what we call a better life, better experience, so that we can progress in the name of progress, which is part and parcel of civilization, existence, and all the rest. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiakawalisu Atra Gachantu Devata Saddamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. इति पेशो भगवा अरहं सम्मासंबुतो विजाचरण संपन्नो सुगतो लोकविदो अनुत्तरो पुरिस धम्म सारति सत्ता देवा मनुसानं बुद्धो भगवति स्वाकातो भगवता दमो सन्दितिको अकालिको एहि पासेको ओपनायिको पाचातं वेदिताबो विनोहिति सुपातिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो उजुपातिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो न्यायपातिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो सामीचिपातिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो यादिदं चतरि पुरिसयुगानि अत्त पुरिसपुगाला एषा भगवतो सावकसंगो आहुनेयो पाहुनेयो दाक्षिणेयो अञ्जलिकरणेयो अनुत्तरं पुण्यं केतं लोकसाति साधु साधु साधु. So as I mentioned just now, today we supposed to dwell into a new unicode, which is about the thought process. So unicode 143 is about the thought. What is thought? And how do we create thought? And how does thought come to be? So, to understand that, maybe I will bring you through what we have gone through last time. So, as you can see from the whiteboard, if you really develop awareness-based meditation, then you will come to understand that the living being have two minds. Two mind. One is your frequently arising mundane mind or thinking mind. And this mundane mind or thinking mind is what we call the thought process. When you create thinking, when you create the thought process, it gives rise to psychological mind. And this is mundane living. That's why you go through life, which is the mundane activity that arises through the thought process. So we call this thinking psychological time. When you start to think, you create psychological time. Means existence arises, the thought process arises, thought activity arises. Not knowing that it's just a thought. It arises and it passes away, that's all. Every thought is the same. Arise and pass away. But we have to understand what is thought. Before it become a thought, it was actually our pure awareness nature. That's why there is a second aspect of mind, which we call it the true mind, the pure awareness nature. And this is our primordial nature. Some call it the Buddha nature or the silent mind. So this pure awareness nature is the primordial. It's just a nature the way. But from there, it can create thinking. It can create the mundane thinking, the thought process. That's how all this manifests. And this mundane thinking is what creativity is, what creation is, what existence is what life is, the existential world. That's why you see here the four circle formation, how the living being arise from the source. The first to arise, the pure awareness nature here. Then from here, it created the mundane thinking. This is what we call the mundane mind. And this is the thought process, which is also the five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aggregate. Then we have a living being, which is also a five aggregate. But this is the first aspect as a living being, with a physical body and a consciousness trapped inside. The four aggregates of mind plus the physical form become the five aggregates. Then at the mental level, the perception brings in the external form and created the thought process, and that is also the five mental aggregates of form and mind. From here, through the senses, the sixth sense door, it triggers off consciousness. That's why here is the creation. The major creation start here. The phenomenal world of consciousness arises through contact of mind with the sense basis. That's why we are a conscious being. We can be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And this is what consciousness is all about. That's why the whole lot of phenomenal world is a phenomenal world of consciousness, no more than that. And this phenomenal world of consciousness is where we call existence or life is. And this is what we call the conditioned arising world. This world is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena. Without causes, nothing arises. That's why it's a phenomenal world, it's a conditioned world. Then here is where everything happens. We call it what they call existence or civilization or the arising of living being, the conscious living being that can be conscious. And through this, you can become conscious of life. And you can create activity within the conscious world. That's why everything is mind-made. Mind-made are they. So mind is the forerunner of all things. From the pure awareness, you created the mundane thinking, the mundane mind. And this is the forerunner of all things, like the Buddha said. When mind arises, all things arise. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. All creation arises. That's what the teaching is all about. So, understanding all this is very important. So now I'll read to you Unicode 143. Then you can understand better. Okay, turn to page 39 of this book. Straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code written by me. Yeah? Unique code 143. Thought. Thought is consciousness and is content. And what are the content of consciousness? The aggregates of mind. As I put in bracket, feeling, or in Pali is called Vedana. Perception, or in Pali is called Sanya. And mental activity, or mental states, in Pali is called Sankara. So these are the content of consciousness. Then there is a receptacle, which is the pure awareness. We call that the pure consciousness or the pure awareness. In Pali, it's called Vijnanam. So this mental five aggregates of form and mind is what your thought is all about. This mental five aggregates of form and mind is basically your thought, nothing else. So I will maybe rub off this thing, then I will explain it more clearly. So like I said, initially, we are just spacious awareness. From the source, the first thing to come out is just pure awareness, nature. This is spacious awareness. So this spacious awareness is without a center. Or you can call it the oneness nature. The spacious awareness, which is the awareness nature, can pervade the whole existence, the whole universe. Nothing is apart from it. Like the Tao teaching. Tao. Tao ke Tao, fei chang Tao. So the Tao that can be described or spoken is not the true Tao. Well, that one is manifestation. And yet, nothing is apart from the Tao, which means that is the oneness nature. That's why you look at the Taoist symbol, the yin and yang, the circle with the line in the center, and within each half, they got the opposite duality. The dark side got a white dot. The white side got a black dot. That is a very good way of describing nature. Yes, within nature, there is duality. Whether it is black or white, wholesome or unwholesome, these are all duality. And within every profession, like we say, there are black sheep within that profession. So that dot represents the duality within. So spacious awareness is our pure nature. So this one is our pure nature, not contaminated, through it its origin. So this spacious awareness is equal to oneness nature. It is the entire existence. From here, that's why I call it the primordial, the original nature, the true nature. From here, it manifests into a thought. It creates thought through the creation process. So here, it creates. It needs causes and conditions. So what happens is, as a human being, if you were to observe how you create thought, then you will understand. Originally, we are this spacious awareness. But what happens is, when we try to perceive something through our senses, let's say, when we try to perceive my voice or the Buddha Rupang, what do? You have to focus, isn't it? You have to shrink your awareness to where my voice is or where your perception of the Buddha image is or Kuan Yin image is. So what happened is, from spacious awareness, you shrink it into a small space to perceive. And this is how the creation start, how thought arise. I better add in the word. You shrink it into a small space to perceive, thereby creating the thought process. So this shrinking is what we call the awareness or spacious awareness. You shrink it to a small space to create perception, which is the thought. Then you introduce the content of consciousness. This sea is content of consciousness. And this together with the content become the thought. So this one equals thought. So hopefully you can understand. And this movement is very fast, because since birth until now, living being has been doing that without you realizing it, without you understanding that this is how thought come to be and how they arise. And how does the content of consciousness went in? This one are the other aggregates of mind, which is your feeling, your perception, your mental activity and thought process. Or mental states, mental thinking, or what we call your verbalization, your planning, your scheming, whatever that your mind can do. The thinking aspect, the emotion aspect, all this is part of the content. So how does this content come about? Feeling comes from your experience. And through the what they call conditioning, since birth until now, you learn how to discriminate between pleasure and non-pleasure, or pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences, like and dislike. All these dualities start to accumulate, and your feeling starts to take over a new area of duality, which comes from your conditioning, your upbringing, your own accumulated conditioning. So once you accumulate that from feeling of like and dislike, then you are given knowledge to label things, to create words, concept, idea out of things. That's why perception come to be. You start to perceive things. Then you start to discriminate like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, nice, beautiful, ugly, whatever. Then after that, when there is fear, worry, anxiety, your mind state become affected. But when you are peaceful, tranquil, calm, without thought, nothing disturb you. You are nearer to your pure awareness nature, your true mind. That's why you experience the peace, the tranquility. And all these are still mind states. Then you accumulate more and more knowledge, experience. Then you develop views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. All these are accumulated in your brain, your memory, up here. So your brain and your memory is the one that created the content. That's a sankhara sanya. Sanya is perception. The moment you perceive, you think. The moment you perceive, you think, you stir, you react, your mind. This is how the creation process arises. This is how living beings behave. That's why I say you will come to know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And understanding the thought process is meditation. Developing the awareness to be aware of all this creation and movement is meditation. Can follow? So this is what the true Buddhist teaching is all about. But so far, the teaching is not taught this way, because they are mostly theoretical teaching. People who don't have the pure awareness nature within to understand all this movement cannot teach you, cannot even understand, not to say teach. So unless you develop the pure awareness nature, stay here and observe to develop the understanding, then from there, that understanding and wisdom will transform you and free you from entanglement and delusion. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will have no power over you. Then your nature becomes beautiful. Then life and existence become meaningful, beautiful. That is the secret of life. That is the secret of understanding the Buddha Dharma, to understand life and to live life. So this unique code 143 is very unique and very special. Okay? Hopefully you all by now can have a clear understanding of what this is. This is the first time I break it down further to explain it so that Kayamita can understand. Okay? You got any question, you can ask me. Yeah? Yeah. Anybody you don't understand, better put up your hand. Yeah? If you have any doubt or question, you should ask. Yeah? But this topic is not easy. It's also not too new. Yeah? By now, most Kayamita should be able to follow. But new people, sorry, not easy. For new people, maybe it will take you a while. But don't worry. Once you develop the meditative understanding, you understand all this. You have to go through the training of developing this awareness-based meditation. Then you will understand what I share and what I teach.
Namo Buddhaya, berarti.
Buddhaya, yes.
I managed to get the understanding from spacious awareness. Like focus, it shrink into a small space.
Okay.
Okay.
You want me to explain that? Okay.
No. I'm a bit lost after that. How it become a thought?
Oh, okay. Okay, now I give you an example, that's easy. Okay? How do you know my voice?
I spoke with you.
What?
I have spoke with you.
Oh, no. Through your hearing.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Your hearing consciousness perceive my voice, the vibration, understand? Then, what happened after that? What happened after that? After the hearing hears, what happened? You process it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Through what? Through your brain, your memory, your knowledge. Understand? Because you have learned the English language. You have learned the words that I use. Can be Dhamma or Pali or whatever, or English. So through that perception, you perceive. So what happened is, before all this perception or thought activity, your nature is just that spacious awareness, the pure primordial awareness nature before thought arises. So what happens is, when you want to hear something, you put your attention at the ear organ and listen from there. Then that ear organ that pick it up is actually the spacious awareness shrinking into that small space where you do the listening. Understand?
Yes.
An easier example is, you look at the Kuan Yin image at the back of me.
Yeah.
Initially, when you have the direct seeing, the pure seeing, you didn't perceive anything in there. You see things as they are. No word, no concept, nothing. That is the direct seeing, the pure awareness, without words, like the baby, newborn baby. Can follow? Okay?
Yeah.
Then, how do you know it's a Kuan Yin image? You have to focus there.
Okay.
You have to shrink your awareness, spacious awareness, and focus. So from there, where you focus, that small space where you focus is where you perceive. And how do you know it's a Kuan Yin image? Through your memory, understand not? That is the content. The external form enters the mind through your memory, your knowledge, your conditioning, your belief system, your accumulated knowledge. And that is how it created the content, and then one go in and become a thought. And what is that thought? That thought is the seeing consciousness that perceives through the egoic mind that this is Kuan Yin image. Understand not?
Okay.
That's how that thought come to be. So spacious awareness through your senses, when you want to know something, that's why all knowing comes from mind, mundane thinking, mundane mind, through perception. Actually, there is nothing to know. Everything you know is knowledge, born of mental perception. So, all knowing is knowledge, because the mundane mind captured. But the pure awareness don't use word, don't use concept. It see things as they are, without words. It's the pure awareness, spacious awareness, seeing things as they are. That is the direct see, or what we call the pure awareness nature, that is aware. But from there, it can understand all things. We have all movement need to go through the awareness. If you are attentive and now aware, or what I should say, observant, then you will see the movement. You will understand the movement. And you will understand how you create your own suffering. How you stir your mind and create your own, what they call, wrong thought, which is based on your deluded content of consciousness, your sakayadity. You believe you exist. You are a permanent and changing entity that has a name, that has a concept, an idea where you can label it. Like for your case, now you are a monk. But before that, you are a doctor. Before that, you are just an ordinary boy from Malacca. Understand? So all this concept or idea or personality that the individual since birth take are mental creation through concept, through knowledge, through idea, through society's convention. That's why when we are born, we are given a birth certificate to tell us when are you born and who are your parents, what is your religion and all those things. Then they give you that certificate. Then as you grow up, they want to monitor you further. They give you an identity. They call it the IC, identity card. Then when you want to travel overseas, they make sure you have a passport. That is for international tracking or identity. So all these are the society's way of creating an entity within the individual. So all this is what thought is all about. Thought has the ability to create through knowledge, through words, through concept, through idea. And that's what our civilization is all about. So understanding all this need awareness. When we are not aware, we cannot understand all this. Yes, Sui, you got something to add.
Sukihoto, Kayanamitas. Actually, thank you for the question. I never really tried to explain what I understand about shrinking and putting content into a thought. And then when I try to follow the discussion earlier, what I could come up with is that when I see or hear something, when I try to recognize something that is happening, what actually happens is I dwell on the phenomenon and take a capture, like a snapshot. So I no longer, the minute I take a snapshot, I scrutinize the snapshot, I'm no longer aware of outside. So for me, shrinking, it feels like taking a snapshot. It's already it's like a photo of the whole scenery. I only like take a photo of the tree. So it's like shrink into that, take a snapshot, and then I compare with all my memory to see if I can recognize. It's like Brother Teo's voice, I compare to all the voices I have recorded and see which one is it, and is it that person? Or like if I took a photo of an item and then I compare and oh, this is a tree. That if I find something in my memory, then I'm no longer interested, then I stop there. But if I don't recognize, when I cannot recognize, that means I compare with everything that I have in my knowledge bank, in my brain, and it's not there, then I continue to open my awareness and observe. Then I take another snapshot. It's like the image, if I see white image, I don't know what is it, I try to compare, then not sure, go and check the hand, then snapshot just the hand. It might not be the whole image anymore, then go back in, then oh, this one is Guan Yin. So that is what my brain is doing, that's how I create thought. And it can proliferate, or it becomes beautiful voice, not beautiful voice. Maybe he is stressed. Oh, today he sounds happy. All these are additional thoughts piled on top of thoughts. So this is how I recognize what I do, by shrinking into the space, putting the content and making my thoughts, how I create thought. Yeah, I hope this helps.
Okay, sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the way Sui explained will let you understand better. It's like you capture a snapshot instead of the totality or spacious awareness where you are one with everything. That's why I say when you are one with everything, whatever that move or have activity you want to know, you can know. Whereas after you create the shrinking of the consciousness, which is here, what happens is you are preoccupied with what you are thinking inside, within this circle, within this small space. That's why Krishnamurti said thought is limited. Because outside of this peripheral, you are not sensitive. Because you are not aware. You are lost in thought, preoccupied with the content of consciousness. Your views, your opinion, your duality, your whatever thought, emotion, reactions, conditioning, that mental activity is so active. That's why living beings who are heedless, they think a lot. They are lost in thought. The cocoon of thought until they develop depression. Where this thought keep on repeating, repeating, repeating and haunting you and creating fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. There, of course, in between, sometimes there is excitement. But these are heedless. You lack awareness. You are lost within the existential world, the phenomenal world of consciousness. You are always thinking, 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 preoccupied with what your senses perceive, think, and become emotional over. And this is where suffering is. That's why I say this phenomenal world of consciousness is where it lures you, entices you, and creates suffering within you. And this is what life, existence, is all about. So all this, is for you to understand. So if you are preoccupied with your thought process, how can you be aware? That's why you lack sensitivity. That's why people who are lost in thought, you can see sometimes they have fear, they have worry, they have anxiety. Well, they think a lot. So much so that they are not aware of whatever is outside their thought activity. So healer's thinking is this internal movement, which is limited. That's why this one cannot free. To break free, you have to go beyond thought, where thought is limited. And to go beyond thought, you need the pure awareness nature. That's why to meditate, you have to come back. Bring your pure awareness back to this one before its creation. Stay here at the heart, pure awareness. Then you can see all this creation and this movement. Then when you are lost in thought, silent. Develop the awareness-based meditation. Use the four support to bring you back to pure awareness. That's how you meditate. Then from here, you can understand the movement, the creation. You can see everything. So Jayanta, coming back to you, yeah? I hope with this explanation, you can understand better. Yeah.
Bhartiru, yes, thank you. I'm now clear with my
thoughts. Ah, good. So slowly, you go back, contemplate, reflect, and listen to this sharing again and again for a few times. It will help you. You wait for Sui to get the short video out, or the audio file out, and the video file out. Then you listen again. Well, now as a bhikkhu, you have more time, and you can focus and develop the understanding better, because the worldly mundane activity that used to haunt you has been completely or almost 80-90% cut off. Yeah. And this will give you the space you need to have time to listen to Dhamma sharing. Well, last time you were too busy, you got a lot of things to attend to. Helping people, serving people, attending to your mom and other things. And you have a lot of worldly things to manage. But now, going forward is a new beginning. That's why it could be a great blessing in disguise. And all Kayamita will support you. Yeah. So, looking forward to your beautiful life as a bhikkhu. Yeah.
So thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu. So make full use of it. Yeah?
Yes, and, I will.
Be worthy of the Sangha's image.
Yes.
Like the Buddha said, there is synergy between the Sangha and the lay community. Yeah. That's why there is a support system. Then your duty is to cultivate and be a blessing to all and give back in your own way via your understanding, which is the Dhamma that you have developed through your practice, through your cultivation, through your this learning. So this will be very beautiful for you. So that's why going forward can turn out to be something very miraculous for you, because this is what the meaning of going for is. You lay down all your worldly things. Yeah. They call it renunciation. Kaya vivika. Renounce whatever that is around you. Means initially is you are given a new name, a bhikkhu. And your focus is to develop the cultivation for the benefit of all, including your own life, your own future, and all those things. Then when you realize all this, you can teach and share, and you can be a blessing to all. And that synergy starts. Then people will make offering, respect, and like the salutation to the Sangha. You will have the four virtue or the quality of a noble one. So, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, of good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, and dutiful conduct, and all this you understand. Then you are worthy of respect, offering, give, hospitality, etc. So all this is what the teaching is all about. And all this can be a living reality when you have the understanding. Then when you have more time for the Dhamma, the understanding will go in. Yeah. So luckily, condition is very good. Yeah. You say you want to join the class, then you are here. And now I realize you can focus more. Your question is very good. It helped many other Kayamita to understand better too. Because sometimes it's not about what you ask. It's about you creating the condition for Dhamma to arise, to flow. So that through this, people will learn. Yeah. Because what my nature share are new teaching that hasn't really come out into the world yet. And these are the understanding that I try to explain just now. If you don't do awareness-based meditation, you cannot understand what I teach. But if you do awareness-based meditation, you will understand. That's why I can put it into words and make it like very simple. Draw into whiteboard diagram, like make it very simple. But without pure awareness, nature's understanding, I cannot teach all this. I cannot share all this. And those Kayamita that has done the meditative awareness-based meditation, they will understand. And they can progress very fast. That's why the Thursday class, the Tuesday class, and the Sunday class, the sharing are now very different. And we are moving in to the higher understanding, the higher practice and all those things. Good. Since it's almost 9:45, I will stop here. The next unique code is 144. 144 also quite good. About Sankara, explanation of Sankara. But never mind. So now I will just summarize again what we have gone through today. Today, unique code 143 is about understanding the thought process. How we have the two mind, and how from the true mind we created the mundane thinking, mundane thought activity that give rise to the mundane mind, which is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. And that arise from the pure awareness nature. From here, it trigger the arising of the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. One, as a living being, you have a physical body and consciousness trapped inside the four aggregates of mind. Then within the four aggregates of mind, you can input the content of consciousness and input the external form to your mental perception. When you perceive something externally, that becomes the external form within the conscious mind. So the four aggregates of mind together, the external form, also created the five mental aggregates of form and mind, the second aspect. And this is what the thought is all about. Thought. Yeah. That's why thought is equals to spacious awareness shrink and you input the content. So when you input the content, it becomes a thought. Initially it's spacious awareness, then you perceive by shrinking this pure awareness to a space, a small space. That's how you lost your sensitivity. But to live life, you need thought. For knowledge, for analytical technological understanding, learning, or what we call education and other things. You need thought. Your thought is an important instrument for communication, for learning, for teaching. Science, technology all arise and get developed further through the using of thought. Your thought being limited, but it has its own function. It can analyze, it can develop rational thinking, then it can develop what they call also the negative part, which is psychological memory. So when you accumulate psychological memory, then thought become a problem. For mechanical knowledge, to learn mechanical things, thought is very useful, very powerful. That's why now you look at AI, everything you will know. Yeah. But when it comes to psychological emotion, leading to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, violence, all those things, you cannot use thought. You use thought, it will destroy you. Yeah, these are evil roots, roots of all evil, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion behind. We are sakayatiti, it creates the karmic negativity. Yeah. That's why for non-psychological activity, it's very good. So, thought has its own place. That's why thought is to be used for knowledge, mechanical things, and scientific learning. But not to be used in the field of psychology. Psychological emotion, you cannot use thought. You use thought, you will develop all the delusion, all the sakayatiti, that condition the wrong thought. Then what are wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your phobia. And all these are suffering, mental suffering. Yeah. Especially your greed, hatred, and delusion. Greed is not limited to greediness. Your aggressiveness, covetousness, your craving, desire, all of the very strong positive craving can destroy you. Then your deep resentment, your anger, your hatred, your enmity, leading to phobia, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. All these are very negative mind state born of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why for psychological thinking, it will destroy you. So you need to be aware of all this. And when you are aware, you develop wisdom. You don't entangle your thought with all this. You use thought in its rightful place. You know thought is limited. Thought is for living. Yes, use it to live life. That's it. To communicate, to learn, to share the Dhamma or whatever. That's why under the teaching, there is a Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha said. You cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And what is the Noble Eightfold Path? Right view, leading to right thought. That's why thought has to be right. Psychological thinking is wrong thought. Rational, clear thinking, creative thinking, they are right thought. Without the evil roots, without delusion. Means very clear, very rational. So what are right thought? Thought that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Means no selfishness, no delusion, no emotional negativity, no evils to distorting, to make you selfish, to make you aggressive, to make you greedy, aggressive, or what they call to develop what they call severe craving or covetousness and all those things. So all those are the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And the Dhamma teach you to identify what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are evil. It makes you evil. You have to expand on it. What is greed? It's not only greediness. All your covetousness, your craving, your lust, your desire, your positive craving, they are manifested from the evil root of greed. Then all your emotional negativity, violence, even your what they call envy, jealousy, hatred, all this, they are manifestation from the evil roots of anger. Then delusion is when you don't understand. Then you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. And all these are mind state that are conditioned by delusion, where you project your thought. And these are not reality. Your emotions are not the reality. They are dependent originating. Fear is not you. Anger is not you. Insecurity is not you. They are dependent originating mind state due to your wrong thought. That's why you stay with it, aware. You see, because they are not intrinsic within your nature. They arise after that, through conditioning, wrong thought. Before the wrong thought come in, you are peaceful, you are tranquil, you are spacious awareness, without emotion. There is clarity. Stay there. Why want to move out of it? Then when you stay there, everything that is created, dependent originating, condition arising, which is not intrinsic within your nature, they will cease. Because they are all condition arising entity, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness is just consciousness, come and go, no reality. All this content of consciousness is what you create through your wrong thought and wrong view. If you don't create, this and the pure awareness is the same. That's why when the egoic mind ceases to be, that pure awareness nature is not an ego, not an entity. He know you, he know me. That's why no one born, no one die, no one sick. All this understanding will manifest and you will develop clear understanding. What you need is awareness, sati, mindfulness, stabilize it. From there, all understanding arise. Well, all creation come from this pure awareness. This is the primordial before everything starts. So you have to go back to this one. Then when you realize the wisdom, this mundane mind that realizes itself cease and become the pure awareness again. Then when the wisdom is stable enough, this one also, the pure awareness will cease and you will realize Nibbana. Not a being to realize. The mundane mind realizes itself and cease and Nibbana happens. But Nibbana is not a state. It's cessation of form and mind. Complete cessation, the pure awareness also no more. And then only this aspect of the movement can be understood. But this aspect of the movement within the nature can only be developed as understanding and perfection through the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. The Bodhisattva way not only develop the awareness based meditation to be at the pure awareness. It located the gateway and go in and develop the ability for the Bodhi mind to illuminate that nature. That's like the third stage of Bodhi mind development. Bodhi mind that illuminate this nature. That is what the Bodhisattva cultivation is all about. It can go in beyond the pure. Pure awareness is enough for the sainthood way, arahant way, enough. You don't need to locate the gateway, the fourth support. You don't need to understand what is within the source area, the nibbana, and all those things, the unconditioned. This only Bodhisattva who go in the full supreme vehicle cultivation, they develop it. Yeah. Okay? So hopefully you all can develop more understanding from today's sharing. Huh? Now we open up for second session, which is meditation reporting followed by whatever question you may have. Huh? Or you can just join in the Dhamma sharing today, yeah? And add in your comments or whatever you want to develop further. Yeah.
Greeting, Brother Teo. This is still an honor for me to ask.
Mm.
Yeah. Today's teaching is very good.
Yeah, sadhu.
And thank you for sharing. And also the question by Bhikkhu Dhamma Dasi.
Yeah, Dhammasi.
And also sharing by Sister Sui.
Yeah.
I'm actually very happy that, you know, our former Dr. Jay
can
found peace by becoming a bhikkhu. Very happy for him.
Yeah. That's why he said the old Dr. Jay is dead.
It's not easy to take such a huge plunge.
Yeah, not easy.
It's not easy because even like for me, the thinking of retirement also, you know, scares me because
scary,
it is something entirely new.
Haunting and all those things. Entirely new,
So I would think he would have experienced something that have prompted him to take that step.
Krishnamurti call it fear of the unknown. Because like retirement to you is the unknown. You haven't really retired. So fear of the unknown. Like people fear death. They don't know what death is. That's why they fear. Actually, the root cause of fear is ignorance, delusion. Who fear? What fear? At that question, you have to inquire. In the retreat, I ask so many times. I think you all know the answer. How deep your understanding is depend on your cultivation. I always tell you all one, who fear, what fear? Huh? Cannot remember. The thought fear. It's not you, understand or not? Your nature got no ego, nothing. Nothing. You are nothing. Nobody. That nature is not a being, cannot come out and live life. And that is not you. That is the nature that is common to all of humanity that take birth through the karmic process. That's why when you completely awaken, you will understand all this. It's the thought that fear, not you. And what is thought? Limited, egoic. Because from spacious awareness, it shrink and become like that. See it, understand it, awaken to it, then thought become your friend. No more delusion. Thought has no more power over you. But you can use thought. That's why life become meaningful, wonderful. When you realize true emptiness, wonderful existence manifest, surface. All these are very beautiful teachings. Very good, Manyan. Your understanding has improved a lot. Sadhu to you.
Yeah, Brother, I want to share something which if I'm wrong, then maybe Brother Teo can...
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead.
So I just want to make use of what you taught tonight and what I have experienced. So for a few times, I have experienced some kind of suffering. I mean, not those very bad suffering, but you know, I know why I suffer because of the focusing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, sometimes I come across people who are rude.
Yes.
And when they talk to you, the words can really
hurt
pierce
you.
Into your heart, hurt
yes.
me. Yeah. But why did I get hurt?
Yes.
Because I have focused into what he said very seriously. Because my thought had come to say to me that he should not have said that. He does not respect me.
Yeah.
And
you don't know why you enter into that phase and cannot come out of it.
Yeah, because it keep on repeating because
you know why. Just now I already told you, because you are analyzing with the thought here, understand or not?
Yes.
The whiteboard here. When you are analyzing, means heedless thinking inside there. That's why thought is limited, it cannot come out. So means you give meaning to what this creation from the mundane mind tell you. You give meaning, understand? That's why you analyze. Why this guy like that? Why they do this? Why? The question never end. Yeah, this is analysis. No amount of analysis or reasoning can solve your problem. Your problem can only be resolved by not thinking. Do you understand?
Yes.
The moment you stop thinking, all this dissolve. Understand or not? No more center to create further thinking. Then what happened? You return to the pure nature. Then everything that is unreal, dependent, originating, cease. Now you understand. Sadhu to you. So to resolve that, don't think anymore. Understand it. Sankara anicang. Sankara dukkang. Understand or not? The more you think, it come and it go, come and it go. The more entangled you are, where you give meaning. Until you become a cocoon of thought, until people develop depression. But when you understand this, sankara anicang, it come and go, impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, empty nature existence, no reality, finish. Then sankara dukkang, this is suffering, understand? The more you think, the more you suffer. Because you give meaning, you get yourself entangled with your idea, your conditioning, your belief system. All of this created the entanglement. That's why knowledge bind. Why you want to know so much? The most beautiful mind is the mind that doesn't know anything. And that's how. From zero, empty. And then it can understand many things. Just observe. No need to accumulate. Accumulation is suffering. Attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. Whereas relinquishment through wisdom is non-holding. That's why there is no movement at all. You can still live life. You can still understand life. But you don't hold. You know all this exists, but no reality, empty, yes, yes or not. Ultimately, he know you, he know me. So do your duty, understand or not? The form of mind is subject to law of karma. Do your duty, finish. That is the wisdom behind the Dhamma that the Buddha teach. That's why the four great virtue of the Aryan Sangha, or good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, dutiful conduct, they do their duty. So these four things you will have one. Where you know the law of karma, you will have good conduct, you will have upright conduct. You don't simply do things anymore. Then you have wisdom, that's why wise conduct. Then you will do your duty because you know. You cannot simply arise a thought to live life through wrong thought that create karmic negativity. So all this understanding becomes very beautiful. Okay, now you can continue. Yes.
Radio, you also need to realize because the thinking sometimes can be very logical. So when we think that it's logical, then that's why it doesn't stop. It do round and round.
Because thought process, I always tell you at the retreat, whatever is logical may not be
the truth.
May not be the truth. Very good. A lot of human convention, they are very logical one, understand or not? Logical or not? But when you really have the awareness and the wisdom, then you realize what is logical may not be the truth. Well, logical is according to rational thinking. Logical one, I'm a human being one. It's normal for me to get angry one. Sometimes through delusion, I develop selfishness. So what? I am normal, is it? Yeah, everybody is like that. like the politician. Everybody is like that. So sometimes the thought process can deceive the living being. That's why logic doesn't hold the answer to Dhamma understanding. Well, logical thinking is for the thought process. Logic is not wisdom. Wisdom may not have any logic at all. Wisdom is an understanding. When you understand, no more problem. When you logically want to be right, you get into big problem. That's why logic can be a problem. Continue, Manya.
Brother, the logical sometimes can be also like, you know, I would like think, why is that person rude to me? Is it because I was the cause of it? And then I'd be trying to think, what did I do to make that person rude to me? And how can I make it right? But I mean, it can help in some way so that maybe I did say something wrong, but it will cause me to go round and round, troubling my mind.
Now you realize that is analysis. That's why I already said no amount of analysis via the thought can solve your problem. Understand? The more you analyze, the more idea you have. You know what is more idea or not? Sometimes people will come and tell you one thing, then you argue, then another fellow will come up with another idea, then end up, you don't know how to make decision. Appear logical. Everybody also logical. Then like you justify through your own analysis. Maybe I am the cause. Because I must have done something that make him like that. But the law of karma is not like that. The law of karma is you reap what you sow. So no need to analyze one. No need to reason one. Whatever arise, what did the Buddha say? There are causes and conditions behind. Trace that one more important, understand or not? Understand or not? Don't go and analyze. Maybe last time I like that, maybe that is all not the reality. That is analysis. Means as far as I know, whatever happened, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions from the past. Means this is the reality. I cannot change. Then I act and I move. No more problem. Understand? But if I hold on to this reality and decide to analyze, why like that? I should be able to avoid it. You will get into big trouble already. But this is a reality. Happen already. Condition like that. Things will be like that. Understand? Why you want to analyze? Why you want to say if? Maybe. All these are not reality anymore. Understand? Maya, see this. This is a phase to take you out of what you realize through the thought process that analyze and at the same time some form of wisdom contemplation. Because the wisdom contemplation comes from your final statement. Finally make you go round and round. Analysis is like that. So when you understand all this, you realize what I say is very true. Wisdom free. Without wisdom, you will analyze. You will continue to justify. Then, reasoning. Everybody has his reason for doing wrong thing, understand? No? You think engineers, lawyers, judge, they never make wrong decision. Our engineering class is the best. When we were having the ethic professional exam paper, we discussed among ourselves. No? So everybody tried to be very technical or theoretical as an engineer. No, this is wrong. We must go by the book, go by the code and all the thing. Then one guy, very smart, no? It depends who is the SO more important, is it? The superintending officer. That fellow decide everything, understand? It's like who is the judge, understand? He decide everything. Then he say, if I want to reject the work, I got one whole set of reason to reject. If I want to accept, I also got one whole set of reason, like the judge. If I want to set you free, I have order, because this is what the world is, based on legal system, based on law, rule of law, so-called. That's why the law need to be amended and amended and amended. Because these laws are man-made, understand? They are not nature's law that governs life and existence. If it's nature's law that governs life and existence, don't need to amend one another, son. Nobody can change it on the way of nature. So all this understanding is very important. Huh? Bhikkhu.
So that's why the first right view is law of karma. Right view has been.
Now you understand.
What did I do to make him talk to me like that?
It's not you! The law of karma is you reap what you sow. Whatever that being in the past has created, when there is condition, he will become the victim. He or she will become the victim. It's nothing to do with you sometimes. Understand?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, be so, cool.
Oh, okay.
Never mind, you continue. Continue first.
Okay. So after suffering for a few times, I actually keep quiet and see what happened next, you know.
Yes.
Because if I have say back something in return to that root word, then I usually the suffering may prolong. But if I shut up and see what happens next, then sometimes very funny. The person who say the rude word don't even realize that it was rude to say that, because the next sentence would be like everything is normal again. You know, it was like he doesn't even have that intention to be rude in the first place, because that is how he talk. Because I keep quiet and I see what happens next.
That is what, at your level, you will believe. So what happened is, like what I always tell you, he is the way he is, understand not? Understand not? Yes. He or she is the way they are. Deluded people do deluded thing. Ignorant people do ignorant thing. Selfish people do selfish thing. They are just the way they are. So No need to analyze. But the more you analyze, the thought come in, and this one, analysis, cannot give rise to wisdom. Wisdom is, they are just the way they are. That's why the Buddha teach, learn to see things as they are. Condition like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. So that reality is more important than all the analysis, all the reasoning, all the idea. So once and for all, develop the understanding and free. Don't get caught in the thought process, the analytical part. I already warned many Kayamita, especially Song in the early day, and now he understands already. I say, thought has this habit of analysis and reasoning, creating more ideas. And ideology divides, create conflict, misunderstanding, war, destructive movement. So all this, when you see it, you see the limitation of thought, the limitation of analysis. Your thought divide, create all this duality, confusion, disharmony, and all war and conflict come from thought. And thought, conditioned by the egoic mind, is always wrong thought. We are egoic, sakkayadity. The evil roots are there. So all this understanding, get it understood, then only you can liberate and free. Because like I always say in the retreat, nothing free except wisdom. So develop wisdom. Don't develop knowledge through analysis. By analyzing whatever your analysis come out with, the conclusion can never free you. It's just for the moment. Short-term solution to justify an action. Okay?
Thank you, Brad.
Sadhu. Thank you for the good question and the sharing. You give rise to very good Dhamma sharing, which can let more people develop the understanding. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we wish Bhikkhu all the very best, and may the blessings of the Triple Gem always bless him, and may he have a smooth journey going forward.
Yes.
And may he fulfill his compassionate and great wishes to be a blessing to all and to help mankind. And at the same time, work diligently towards the Dhamma understanding that can liberate her mind, his mind, so that he can be a blessing to all. Okay, let us now share merits, transfer merit, then we will end. Akka satta cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkantu loka sasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha Bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay. You can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu for your kind participation. And rejoice with all the good sharing. Thank you.